Good evening and good morning, depending on where in the world you are. Welcome to another episode of the Pink Tron. Let's start off with our favorite question. Tatum, what non-alcoholic drink are you drinking tonight?
Seriously, I've got actually got a Heineken in my hands.
Is there any alcohol in the Heineken?
No, bastard. How
Oh.
did you? I was gonna hold it like this somehow, then you could just see the bottle, but no, it didn't work.
Ladies and gentlemen who are unable to see the computer screen, Tatum was planning on showing us a Heineken logo without the 0.0 underneath it. He's now trying to show us it again, but because of his background, we can't actually see it.
Yeah, there we go, in the face, but
It's like a
it's a Heineken.
Keith, what do you have this evening?
This evening, I have another bottle of wine. I'm not through the bottle yet, but I'm sure halfway. And it's a Chardonnay from Chile. Like last week, I had a Chilean a red wine. And I told last week my wife bought it, and she bought two bottles, a red one and a white one. So I'm now for the white one.
Very good. Councillor Robinson, how about you?
I am sadly because it's now 1 p.m. where I am, and I just got like 20 minutes ago drinking a sparkling ginger ale flavored sparkling water.
That's an interesting selection.
That sounds almost as bad as me last week. I
No,
was
sorry.
playing.
Yeah, to be fair to Brent, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon rather than 8:05 at night on a Friday. I have a bottle of Malbec. It's Argentinian. It's a Buenas Vidas. You can't really see it on.
Oh, there
There
we
we go.
go.
We can almost see it. We've been playing around with Zoom backgrounds, and anyone who uses Zoom knows how backgrounds and stuff kind of interferes with anything you want to show anyone at all. But it's Argentinian Malbec. It is quite nice. I've had it many times before, and enjoy it because it is red and wine flavored. So, on to our next highly exciting topic on our agenda. We're going to talk about the Zwift Racing League. Tatum, you and I haven't been racing, but Keith and Brent, both of you?
I did.
Yep.
I did a race with the Broncos and in CCAT in EMEA East, first division. And I was really excited to participate. It was my first race in ZRL, and I was a little bit optimistic because I wanted to go for the first sprint. The first sprint, when you go over the line, it's first across the line. So if I could make a little bit of points, it would be the first round. But the little bump of 5%, it killed me. So I was way back, way back on
I've
the 70th place. So I
I
didn't have any chance.
I've had plans of great grandeur as well, and they normally end up with me being about 75th before the sprint even starts, and about half a kilometre behind everyone else. Brent Robinson, you had a rather good race.
I had a good one this week. I stuck in there across that bump and managed to get three firsts on the sprint premes. I only knew the one for sure that I'd got because they were so close to the line and everything, like every other sprint was super close too. But I ended up with three firsts and then a ninth overall. So our team moved up from 10th to fifth. Our team did really well. Good job, Herd of Burning Bidets. If you want to see more, check out my YouTube
I've already seen
I highly
it.
recommend anyone who hasn't seen Brent's videos to go and watch them. They're generally very funny. But I'm still trying to get over the fact that Brent, you've turned into a sprint champion. What's going on?
I blame actually Zwift Academy. I did Zwift Academy, and that little then you get the email. It's like you are a whatever you are, and it's like you are a sprinter, and I'm like, this thing doesn't know anything about me. So then it's like, oh, actually, I guess if you're coming in top 10, you are a sprinter. I guess I should go for the sprints. Here we are.
Good job.
And you rode very wisely between the sprints as well.
I did. I had the full draft like an injury effect on, no doubt.
There we go.
So this week, we have four laps of the Park Perimeter Loop in everyone's favorite world, New York. And that is, so it's all around the outskirts of the flat area of New York, going anti-clockwise. There are four FAL and one FTS segment on the New York Forward Sprints, which is the downhill one.
Yeah, the sprint is downhill, but
the rest of it is up.
Well, the way that sprint works is it's downhill for the last 200 meters, but the whole windup is like there's like a 300-500 meter drag up. So the real like challenge is to get to the where that sprint line is in contention. And like I didn't do Park Perimeter Loop. We had a bullseye on like LaGuardia or something like that, mm-hmm. like 3-4 weeks ago. And I'll tell you, like, holding the strong riders to the top of that thing is going to be work, not to mention all the rest of the
company. And like the entry into the sprint LaGuardia is actually a bit easier because I think the drag actually starts just before that intersection as well. So yeah, it's going to be tough. So if you're light, you might get a little bit of a head start, but then you're going to lose that advantage as soon as you go downhill. So be interesting.
I'm looking forward to this one. This will be my first one for the ZRL this season, but I'm very nervous. Form is down, but hey, we're going to still give it some gas.
Sounds like a good plan. How long have you been out for? Is it a couple of weeks?
It's only yesterday. It was the first time in 2 weeks that I picked up the tempo a bit. I did it 3 or 4, just a handful of very low intensity rides up until then. But today was a good one, and I'm hoping just to pick it up from there.
Nice. Good luck.
You in for the Broncos, Keys?
Sorry.
Are you in for the Broncos this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm one of the team members to race this Tuesday. Fortunately, nice. Looking forward to this circuit because it is almost flattish.
If you look at the net gain, it will be flat.
Yeah, there's nothing flat about New York anywhere you go. I mean, if you actually see 0% on the gradient map, it lasts about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Bike selection, gentlemen. Are we going full out aero?
For ZRL?
Yeah.
Oh, I think pink Tron for me.
Tron.
For me, the Tron.
Yep.
Tron trumps. There we go.
So... Tron's all around from our people of a race, which leads me on to HWR this weekend, which is a single lap of RGV. So generally, well, the first 12 kilometers are about as flat as you can possibly find if you're not racing on Tempest Fugit. Then you have the aqueduct, and then you have longer rollers followed by very, very short rollers. It's flat. The rollers at the end are horrid. No one really likes them. Course is a bit boring. Not a very exciting race.
Brent was there earlier.
Brent, how did earlier go?
Yeah, I mean, I had another good race. It's kind of suits me because it's not too much punchiness. I think we did well. Rob Burden went for a solo attack for the first 12 kilometers. and then once the sort of other A riders in the pack smelled blood, they made an attack, and there was a gap. We did throw, so the group was probably 40 to 50, and then when they attacked to go gobble up Rob, there was a break, and we probably split another 15 riders off the back of that group. So, you know, stay switched on because you don't know when those faster riders are going to go. The aqueduct was not as ugly as I thought it was going to be. I only got to probably 500 watts to stay on the hill, which is, for me,
surprising, actually.
Six and a change, which like doesn't like sounds hard, but like I mean, I've had to do 600 watts for like 30 seconds sometimes to hold.
Yeah, but that's normally like a 30 second 10 watt a kilo.
Yeah. I've also seen 8, 9 going up there.
Yep. Mm. So it wasn't bananas cuckoos, and then there wasn't even a big attack on the rollers. I thought like those last two rollers that go to about 4%, 5% that I thought some of the lighter A guys would go and try and kick some of us off, but it all stayed pretty together to the end. So it's just stay in there and hold the wheels and get ready for the sprint.
So basically what you're saying is your race was quite boring and then you sprinted at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, and tried boring and tried to take down the scorekeeper.
Nobody takes down scorekeeper.
Tried, yeah.
Bike selection, guys.
I would go for the Tron as well on this Tron. Board.
Keith, that's your answer to everything. What are you drinking tonight? Oh, pink Tron.
Sometimes orange.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I rode the pink Tron, but others were on full arrows. I think, you know, I think the only answer is what's your confidence level on the aqueduct? I really, really didn't want to get shelled off the back of the group on the aqueduct, so I took pink Tron. If you are really confident to hold that aqueduct and you want to squeeze an extra half second or something out of your sprint, go your arrows.
I think I'd say that full arrow with discs is the right way to go, but realistically the difference between full arrow and discs and a Tron bike, you're probably talking a second, maybe less. Realistically, is it going to make that much difference? No. Choose your favorite, you'll be happier, which is obviously the pink tron.
It seems I will have to change the color of my Tron from now on.
What color Tron have you been using?
I've been on an orange Tron since the day I got the Tron.
Is Tatum a Dutch name?
No, a lot of my family is Dutch.
Yeah.
There's only one excuse to ride an orange Tron.
You have to actually be Dutch.
I'm half Dutch.
God, not you as well. Why is everyone half Dutch? But yeah, so Tron or full arrow, probably not going to make any difference at all. Go out, do the best you can, have fun.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's talk about the Tour de Zwift. Has anyone done any of the stages yet?
Yes.
I'm up to date.
I've done three.
I've done 11, but let's move on.
three out of four. 11 out of four.
to be fair, I've done every stage. Well, I did the first three stages three times apart from stage three, which I did four times. And I've now done stage four once, and we'll try and do it another couple of times by the end of the weekend. I decided to set myself a target of doing each stage three times, and then I got a little bit obsessed. So even once I'd done it three times, I decided, oh, I might as well just do this again.
Are you doing the long stage three times each one?
Yeah.
So like three Alps.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I pretty much went for the third one as well.
You did a good time. You put like a 49 and
49.70.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I would rather do three Alps than go to the jungle three times.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm doing three Alps and going to the jungle three times.
it's the only time I ever get off the Tron is to get onto a mountain bike in the jungle. That's it.
So funnily, there are very few badges I don't have. I got a new badge today, which just shows how often I go to the jungle. It's the first time I've completed Serpentine 8. Even though it's a long stage, so I averaged 2.9 and that took me 50 minutes flat. It's not a very long one. So if you are just looking to do, call it 50 minutes, and you can just about tolerate the fact that those 50 minutes around the jungle, it won't take too long. And then you can tick that one off and move swiftly on to round five. But I've really been enjoying the Tour de Zwift. I mean, not just because I'm employed by them, but I've enjoyed the fun that always comes about from chasing groups and saying to myself, okay, I'm going to do 2.0, I'm going to do 2.5, and oh, look, a group, it's just in front of me. I'm going to chase that group. It's been good fun. And a nice change to pace partners and free rides, and just giving me a bit of motivation to get my bike and enjoy myself.
Yeah, I've done a couple doubles too. I did, but I haven't been doing like repeats of the long ones. I've been doing like the long one and then the short one. I didn't have that crit one, so I wanted that badge.
I did a repeat on free long. So that was 10 laps of Farmland Loop. So I did the 1 o'clock and then I did the 2 o'clock.
I saw those profiles you posted. Looked. I can tell when you're doing the climb because it goes from gray to blue.
Yeah. I like the fact I can look straight in my power profile and know exactly where I was in the course.
Yeah, it's been good. I've enjoyed, I think so far Tour de Zwift is good. You're exactly right. Just, it's a change of, you know, just doing workouts by yourself. It's,
yeah,
there's always big crowds, so you can kind of get some good kilometers in at pace. Chase the groups. I led one, like you know, you kind of get a sense of how strong the people you're riding with and what their sort of capabilities are relative to yours, and we were, you know, on 3 seconds off the back of a group, and I put a big surge in and pulled the whole group up, so it's all good fun.
You also get onto those rides once you're in the pen, you're sitting there, I will not race and when that bell drops, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, I've been the same with like my pacing plan. It's like I'll set off at that pace, and then I realize, oh, there's a group doing just a little bit more than what I planned to do, and that ends up being like an extra half of what a kilo.
Yeah,
but no, it's been fun. Looking forward to the rest of the stages, especially London Pretzel, which will be fun. Doing that 3 times will be great. So what else do we have on this week? So I'm going to look at the very confusing spreadsheet that has blacks and whites and work out where the hell we are. So in HWR this week, obviously we've got RGV. It is followed by the first 11 kilometers of Actobahn next weekend. So that will finish at the summit of the reverse Innsbruck KOM. Before we came on air tonight, I was thinking, actually, the guys are going to be really surprised that we haven't got any Innsbruck events. Wrong.
It's coming.
Herd of Mountain Goats on Sunday and Monday is the Muir and the Mountain.
Now, are you a week off? James, isn't it then top? January 23rd?
Yep. I have got a bit too excited. Thanks, Brent. It is Ventop. It's me and the Mountain the week after. So
speed, everybody.
Yeah. Best part of 2,000 meters of climbing. Enjoy. Last time I did this in a race, I couldn't do anything for at least a week, probably two, which was in the middle of the Herd Club Championship. Did really well on Ventop. Awful. Absolutely abominable in everything else. So that is Sunday and Monday. In the Stampede, we have 10 miles or 16.1 kilometers of London Loop. And I think I need to try and make a point of actually getting this right, seeing as it's my course. We will be doing one effort of Box Hill, that there will not be a second. There will not be a repeat of the 3 or 4 leg snappers from last weekend. Brent's trying not to look at the screen. One ascent of Box Hill, one descent of Box Hill, and then you'll do some more pedaling and you'll end up somewhere.
You will cross the escalator, though. Keep that in mind.
Yes, you will have to go up 2K the escalator. 2K from the
finish, you have to get up the escalator.
So that is Sunday, Monday, and very, very early Tuesday European time. And then in Bullseye on Wednesday and Thursday, we have four laps of Champs-Élysées, which will be horrible. Good luck. And finally, in the women's time trial series, once I work out what the actual date is, on Saturday and Sunday, we have 20 miles or 32.2 kilometers of wandering flats. That'll be just over a lap. So you will only have to do the climb once. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I think I'm right. I may not be.
Wandering flats is the Neokio into Umezio.
Yeah, it's 25 kilometers long. You start on the downhill. And then you go round the long loop. There is a climb towards the end of a lap.
The TT route. It was the TT route on Thursday.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think 32.2 kilometers mean you only have to do a climb once.
Yeah.
Any of you guys doing any of those other than Brent's already done HWR?
I see. Yes, Keith.
I'll probably race tomorrow the HWR as a preparation for Tuesday. And I'll do the Tour de Swift on Sunday to have another go on the round for Tuesday.
Sounds good. I'm doing none of them because I'm doing Tour de Swift three times every stage. Like an absolute lunatic.
Tatum, any for you?
Yeah, I'm gonna do the herd winter racing tomorrow, race three. So hopefully that's going to be a nice one. And then I'm thinking of getting started with Bullseye. I've seen what that does to a lot of the guys' sprints, and it's no secret that I can't sprint to save my life. So hopefully that's going to get the sprint going.
Bullseye is great for 30-second and 1-minute power.
Nice.
Good luck with those.
Last week, Mark and DJ raced in the A's, so...
I'm
a little tempted just to let go of my B category lead and go race with those guys again. Although I didn't win this week. There was some guy who is an absolute horse who beat me on every sprint.
Well, yeah, you're a sprinter now.
Come join us, Brent.
Yeah. It's good fun. Yeah, no, I'll probably do Stampede and Bullseye again this week. That's been part of my plan, is I can go sort of murder myself Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Easy the other days of the week.
So you're racing four times a week.
Yep.
And you're still able to walk.
Yeah, I mean, like something like Bullseye, like it's hard for your sprint efforts, but it is usually pretty pedestrian in between. So like it's not as taxing as some of the other stuff. Like I don't think if I had to do, you know, Stampede for 32.2 kilometers the day after ZRL, I don't think I'd be able to walk for a week.
Yeah, fair enough.
The team time trials on a Thursday are pretty brutal.
Yeah, and that is one reason why I have not been doing those. I got to take one day of just zone two, spin around.
So, other than the herd racing races and ZRL, Tour de Swift, are there any events that anyone's looking forward to at all?
The AutoCAT, the chase races on a Wednesday. Hmm. I've done a couple of those, and though they are a lot of fun.
I did the first one, actually. I really enjoyed it. So I did the BCAT, and I think the vast majority were BCAT races. I know the WTRL like play around with the people at the top and bottom end of the categories to make sure the balance. But so I was doing that actually with Eric Min and Charlie Essendorf, who obviously I work with both of them, and suddenly saw like there's some like orange Zeds around me. I was like, oh, who's that? And had a quick look. It's like, oh, it's the boss. And that was, I think it's maybe Watopia Hilly. Oh no, it might have been Figure Eight. Because I remember the only real hard part of that race was just hanging on over Hilly Com forwards.
Yes.
And that was like having to do, so bearing in mind I was in B at the time, having to do about 4-4-4-5 to hang on. Mm-hmm. And almost lost it, but just about managed to hang on. The rest of the race was probably around about 3-3-3-4. And then there was a sprint at the end that I went to late on and finished like 30th, and Eric Min happened to win the race.
Remember seeing that. Yeah, no, they can be really brutal, really fast, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed it. I got a request in from Dirt earlier today, saying, oh, we'd like to put an endurance ride on tomorrow, Saturday. So 11:05, I'm planning on doing 100 miles of Greatest London Flat with Dirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it should be highly enjoyable, and I don't think it'll hurt at all. Good way to spend 5 hours of your Saturday.
Yeah.
Anyone else doing? No, it's not. Don't lie.
you don't want to know what some of the marmots are planning for the week.
Very, very strange things, no doubt.
Oh, yes. Like sub 2 hour, 100 kilometers.
No, I saw that event. I think there's a couple on, actually.
They last time there was only one, and it was this difficult time. I think they've got three or four of them running over the weekend. Yeah.
So, assuming there's a big group, that's got to be 5 watts a kilo for 2 hours?
At least, yeah.
Yeah. Because when it first came on the scene, I think it took them like 4 or 5 weeks to break 2 hours, and then they did like 1 hour, 59 and 50 seconds.
The way Becca described it earlier is her and I were dropped very unceremonially. I said it was the longest 15 minutes of my life.
Yeah,
so the previous time.
Yeah, no, I remember that one. And I remember you guys both actually going very fast for a very long period of time and thinking, that sounds like a terrible idea. I'm never going to do that in my life.
No, not again.
And you're never going to do it again. So bring us on to Round the Horn. No idea what that is actually meant to mean, but I think it's meant to mean we talk about something that isn't one of our other agenda points. Tatum, you wanted to talk about recovery after illness or injury.
Yeah, I just thought it's something that we're facing a lot at the time. There's so many injuries, so many different injuries you can get on the bike, off the bike, illnesses, and they all have their own prescribed guidelines for rest, recovery, and plans to get back into the saddle. And I think we're so tired of the topic, everyone's totally over it, but a lot of cyclists, are especially guys that race with us, are picking up COVID at this stage. And there's not a lot of care taken on rest and recovery, and you know, just following guidelines on when to get back into the saddle. And because this was so close to me this last 2 weeks, I just thought it's something we could maybe discuss.
I think actually that's a really interesting point, because if you have an actual injury, your doctor or physician will be able to give you guidelines on when you can come back and what sort of progression to recovery you should use. But I think often with illness, especially something that lasts, say, a couple of weeks, which that time off the bike will have an impact on your fitness, how quickly should you come back, and how much activity should you be doing as well. Tatum, I know you've looked into this quite a bit, and I'm fairly certain you have a minute by minute plan for the next week.
To be honest, people should rather do as I say and not do as I do. I haven't followed my own. I've got a very interesting graduated return to play protocol for cyclists with regard to COVID, what I'll actually do is when the links go up for Pinktron, I'll put it there for people to have a look at. And rest is so important, and not getting on the bike quickly. And the idea of you're going to get unfit, you're going to lose your strength. Yes, you do lose a few numbers, but of what I've seen in the last 2 days, it's not dramatic. It's not drastic, and you will get back to where you want to be.
I think from my point of view, and I am, anyone listening, I am absolutely not an expert at all, and I don't know anything about training whatsoever, and I generally do the wrong thing constantly. I think if I came back from, let's call it a medium layoff, I mean, for me, anything over a day feels like a lifetime. If I were to come back after, say, a couple of weeks off the bike, I would probably look at doing medium to long length zone two rides, so a couple of hours with Coco, maybe chucking a couple of sprints every now and then, just see how I'm feeling, but to take it from there really, and probably look at maybe doing one sort of 20 to 40 minute race after having done quite a bit of endurance work.
Yeah, you're gonna literally stay in zone one once you're symptom free and you've got a few days that you've recovered and rested. You will start 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and gradually build it up all in zone one until you pretty much zone two. You've got to keep it under 80% of your heart rate. And I mean, we can chat for ages that that's pretty much just a ballpark summing it up. And it'll be about a week, 5 days to a week of once you start getting back onto the bike until you're pushing high zones again. I think I maybe got a bit quick. I started on Friday and I was already racing earlier today. What's today? Today is Friday. Last Friday. It's Friday. So it's about a week that I've taken and built it up gradually. So it does take time.
I think everyone should realize that when your body is in recovery mode, you should not interfere that process to fully build up your strength again. And you should always think about why am I doing this? What's the goal of me going on the bike and train? If it's just to have something to do, it should be okay to do it with low heart rates as well. Yeah. But you should never interfere with your body being in recovery mode. That's such an important thing. And I read in the paper today that of people who are doing top sports, that was about football actually, but of all the people doing top sport and having COVID, about 4% has problems with the heart. So that's something that you shouldn't underestimate. Only 4% doesn't seem many, but you should always take care about your cardiac system.
Yeah, definitely. And if you are recovering from injury, if you have any doubts at all, please do consult your doctor, because
that's important. There we go. That's the important part, James. It's literally, if you're feeling sick or you're injured, don't ride. See someone first.
Brent, anything to add?
I've been lucky, I guess, in my career. I've never suffered like an ugly injury or serious illness that kept me off for super long. The one sort of big break I had from the time when I was training triathlon, especially until I got into Zwift, is I'd had what in Star Wars talk might be called a broken motivator. And I'd say that if you suffer from that, like after you've been off for a while, which I think you can, go try and like, you know, when you're cleared and you're medically able, is find something fun, whatever it is that makes it fun for you, and do that first before you like try and get into like some big training plan. Because if you think you're going to come back and you're going to like go slog away at your old training zones at, you know, 2x20s and stuff, I think you're going to get hate life on the bike, especially when you're trying to chase your old numbers.
If someone called Mark has tried to set 2x20s for you, just ignore him and tell him he's a loser.
Yeah, some of us are lucky enough to get 2x25s. And
yeah, no. I did that once. I will never, ever, ever do it again.
It's the most horrible thing on a bicycle.
I couldn't ride my bike for a week.
100% of the threshold?
105.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah.
So 105% of your FTP for 25 minutes and have a 5 minute break and then do it again.
It's not fun.
No, it wasn't at all. No. I was actually crying by the end.
Can I say something? Do you know what makes you faster doing that, James?
Crying?
Being on an orange Tron.
Oh yeah, of course. We are down to 30 seconds of our free Zoom coverage, so I think we better draw a line under this quickly and say goodbye. I will say goodnight.
Good night, guys.
Hey. Good night, guys. It was a pleasure.
For sure,
this was fun.
Yeah, we're gonna get kicked out of here.